You're listening to Bands and Botanicals, a unique podcast where we discuss herbalism, fitness, and healthy habits for life. Enjoy the show. Hey, everybody. It is Memorial Day weekend. So it's been a minute since we did anything with the podcast. Life is a little crazy, but I was able to go back to Oregon for a little bit and visit some friends and some clients and meet with Danielle in person. And so we recorded a podcast that I figured I'd post now that I have a little bit of time to edit it. So the dates and things are a little off, but Danielle has a fantastic online program you guys should check out. So listen up for more details here in the show.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome back. It has been a little while.
It's been a minute.
Yes. A lot has happened in that minute. So today we're actually going to be talking about shifting our mindsets. And before we dive into that, how are you doing, Danielle?
Doing all right. Right? Yeah. You know, life is all the ups and downs, and each day brings something new, but that's kind of why I'm excited about this topic that we have today, because I'm trying to create something new and I've been having to really work on my mindset and see how that supports me so that I actually create the success that I'm looking to have in my life. And I'll kind of explain that a little bit more as we get into things, but I'm excited about this topic. How have you been?
Good. I haven't seen you in 7 months.
I know. Paula's back in Southern Oregon for a week.
Yes.
So we just had to get back together.
I know. Luckily we were both in town at the same time.
I know.
Which is nice.
Could have been an easy miss.
But yeah, we're doing a lot of things. I mean, we settled in Southern Maine and I got a consulting office there. So I'm doing my herbal consulting. And in the midst of everything you're doing, you're also creating more online platform options for people, for your clients, which I'm stoked for because, as you know, I have been begging you to do some virtual online training. I can't find anyone like you, Danielle.
I'm sorry. Well, just to preface, I haven't been denying her because I wanted to. Life has been a little turned upside down within my family unit. Not like me and my husband, but with my mom and my family over there and stuff. So I have literally not been able to wrap my head around much of anything. So we could come back to that conversation.
Right. I'm going to enjoy what we're talking about today because it's a little different than the typical mindset, right? So it's kind of those stories we tell ourselves, right? This is something you've said before, but you know, those intrusive thoughts that kind of crowd our mind, that stop us from any kind of progress that we might be making, that disturb our inner peace. You know, we focus too much on, you know, the things we haven't done, the things we haven't learned, the things we haven't felt or seen or experienced. And when we're trying to progress, especially at our age, you know, people get into their 30s and they're like, all right, I have to start doing something with my life. Mm-hmm. Why haven't I, you know, gotten to this point yet? Why can't I control things better? Why?
Social media doesn't make it any easier.
Right, especially people
project the life that they want people to see. Mm-hmm. And you always think you compare.
Right.
And that really just messes with people, whether it's comparing like, oh my God, why haven't I been traveling that much? Or how can't I be traveling that much? Or why is this online person super successful and I'm struggling just to get like 2 likes on a post or something, you know? So
oh yeah,
social media is just making it feel like even more of an urgency to accomplish a certain thing or to live a certain way or to look a certain way. So
yeah, I think it's definitely intrusive. For me, all the time, it's just one of those things where it's kind of like, oh, that's a weird thing. All right, I'm going to keep going about my day. But these thoughts are just constantly in there and I'm trying to ignore them. And it definitely distracts from the progress that we could see, right? It's like, and it also diminishes the things that we have accomplished and the things that we have learned and the experiences that we have had, especially in this weird mindset that everybody's in when we're kind of still, there's COVID, there's not COVID. It's been like 3 years, right? I see these people who were just thriving I'm still like, are we still wearing pajamas most of the day? You know, so how can we change our mindsets? That's what kind of what we're going to be focused on. You've been putting out some really great videos and content that I've really enjoyed, and some of the mindful practices that you've been doing. And, you know, I'm going to be talking about some of those herbal applications and, you know, where in the body is the mindset rooted? Is it in the mind? Right? And we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, in past episodes that we've done, and just in the more that you and I communicate and me like learning from you so much, we've realized that there's so much within the body that's connected. And unfortunately, it all kind of happens without us even knowing it. I mean, it happens, and it's not that we could see how the liver is functioning or how the gut is functioning and how that would affect the brain. And, you know, all of these things are also new, kind of an upcoming conversations and discoveries that people are having. And it's just really cool to see that there are ways that you could physically support your body and tangibly support your body that are going to then in turn support the mindset work that you may be doing, and how it could all go hand in hand. So like most things, you know, we say this like 1,000 times, it's just all connected, and just seeing like what supports you best.
Yeah, absolutely. We have talked on the show before about the mind-gut connection, and we've had some people on discussing, you know, their issues with gut, and you know, we've talked about immunity and all these other things, and the gut's really been the focus because people are really like, okay, whatever we're bringing into our bodies is affecting our gut, and so microbiome and all these other things, but what I really want to focus on is the liver today and how we support the liver with some herbal allies, and you know, why it's so important. Because when most people think of mental health or shifting their mindset or getting out of this stuck, you know, like I mentioned before we started recording, it's like, why can't I just get over this? Why can't I just move forward? Why are these thoughts?
Can I believe in myself?
Right. Like, why does this keep happening? Because, you know, deep down, yeah, you know, you can do it. You've done things before, but it's like this stagnation that happens. And interestingly enough, you know, there's a lot more research being done that the mind is really connected more, and the brain function especially is more connected with the liver. And it really does make sense, because if you think about it, what the liver does is it's filtering the blood, all the toxins in your blood. And what happens if you have diminished liver function, whether that's because, you know, it's predisposed, or maybe you really went hard in your 20s, like quite a few of us have done, or maybe you're still going hard in your 30s and 40s. No judgment here. But when you have diminished liver function and you're not able to filter the toxins out of the blood, they stay in the bloodstream, and then they actually become noxious to the brain, which makes a lot of sense when we think about it in that regard. You know, and with traditional Chinese medicine, which is similar to some of the herbal medicine that I work with, you know, they believe that the emotion of anger is really rooted in the liver. And I think that that's really one of the, I guess, basic level, you know, we're not Brene Brown. I'm not going to get into all the different emotions that are out there. but it allows us this function of just like, I'm pissed at myself. I'm pissed at fucking situations. I'm pissed at everything. Excuse my French. And it's not French, because they get so lazy when they say words, they don't pronounce the last 2 or 3 letters. So I don't know why we say that. And I'm on a tangent, but yeah, you know, the emotions of like rage and fury and aggravation that we feel are rooted in the liver, and traditional Chinese, medicine has been looking at this in this way for, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of years.
Yeah. I mean, I remember reading your notes yesterday about all of this and just found it so interesting, because, you know, what I wanted to bring to the table with this discussion was kind of just focusing on the mindset and, you know, things that you could apply and visualizations that you could do and little tricks that you could do, and just kind of trying to really hone in on the fact that your life is of your making. But I love that you're bringing this conversation about the liver and going to show us, you know, these herbs that could support it, because, and I'm going to get into this a little bit later, but you know, you could try to solve one problem with one thing, but if there are multiple components, you're not going to be as effective solving that problem.
Right.
And we've always talked on this podcast about supporting yourself, supporting your future self, and like supporting the things that you're trying to do. And if you're having a mindset practice but feel a little bit stuck, then maybe learning about how you could support yourself through the liver and through certain herbs that will help flush those toxins and help kind of clean? Would you clean the liver?
Strengthen? Or? Yeah, it's like you're restoring, it's a restorative practice, definitely. And I think we focus too much on once there's an issue, now I'm going to find the solution.
Right.
Instead of preventative care. If right. you're listening to this and you're like, my liver's fine, I don't know what you're talking about, I don't drink, I don't do that. Well, drinking's not the only way to diminish your liver in a lot of ways. And if you think, well, my mindset's great, so I guess I won't listen to this and everything's fantastic. We all know that that's not in perpetuity, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, one day everything could be great and the next day it can't. You know, and there's a lot of other things that tie into your ability to shift your mindset. If you haven't had enough sleep, if you don't have great nutrition, and that's, again, all tied into the liver, right? Mm-hmm. And so regardless of where you're at health-wise or anything like that, I think it is really important for preventative care to really focus on nourishing and restoring, you know, the organs that help everything else.
Yeah, for sure. 1,000%. I think you nailed it on the head by saying, you know, you may not have that problem today, but why are you not going to do something that could help set you up to be strong for when something does occur right. in your life? I mean, if you look at like my little business thing, which is DC Fit, and my catchphrase, I guess is what it would mm-hmm. be called, is strength beyond circumstance. And my whole idea behind that is that I want you to be strong or feel confident or feel empowered so that when something does happen to you, you have the capacity to overcome that situation and you have the confidence within yourself and the trust within yourself to overcome that situation. And it doesn't mean it's going to be easy.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that you won't have days where you don't think you'll make it through. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the overall trust that you have in yourself, but it's all about setting yourself up before you even get to that point.
Right. Absolutely. It's like you're not going to build a house without a foundation.
Exactly.
Right? And then, oh, well, it'll be fine. It'll last a little while. And then there's earthquakes, floods, whatever you want to call mm-hmm. it. And it's like, oh, crap, we probably should have had that foundation.
Japanese knotweed that just gets under your right. house, which is incredibly invasive and apparently can completely uproot the foundation of a house.
Well, you can't eat it, so start chopping that shit up.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
you can. I got some Japanese knotweed in my yard, so.
Yeah, that'll be a good stir-fry option for you, especially if you got some burdock root as well.
Oh.
I like those, too. Yeah, but, you know, it's so interesting when we talk about mindset, and I've listened to a few different podcasts that go over this. And they're usually all mindset focused. We have this unique ability to kind of dabble in and out of the lines of fitness and herbalism and all of those things because, you know, you've got your focus, I've got mine, and we come together and we're just like everything else, it's connected. There's mm-hmm. ways that these can play off of each other to benefit everybody in a holistic way. And I think that's really important. You know, I have been going to a physical therapist for years. I've found one in Southern Maine that's fantastic that works on women's pelvic health as well. Mm. And they recommended a acupuncturist. And I was just like, oh, I'm not really big into that kind of stuff, but I'll try it. You know, it's like, what do I got to lose at this point? They're recommended by a doctor. So obviously they've got some credentials. And so one of the interesting things, and this is why I wanted to focus on the liver. She was saying that, you know, I have stagnation in my liver. And this is another important part to bring up. You can be strong, you can be independent, you can be successful and still have issues in mindset, in health, in body, mm-hmm. in fitness, in whatever it is. You know, this is why we talk about these things because nothing's ever like absolute, you know. Mm-hmm. There's always ways in which we can kind of work on those things. And, you know, when I started realizing that I might have stagnation in my liver and started doing some research on some of those things, it was really interesting to see that there is a rise in young women in particular who have diminished brain function, mm-hmm. right? And I have a lot of clients who come to me that are like, I have brain fog and I have all these mm-hmm. things. And they're healthy, very healthy, you know, 20-somethings, 30-something-year-olds who, you know, we just want to slap a label on it. It's ADHD. It's whatever. Go take this medication. But we never look at the root cause of some of those things.
Yep.
And so I think it's really, really interesting that there's kind of this epidemic to a certain extent that people aren't talking about, which is young people being plagued with severe health issues, you know, like colon cancer, or why would a young woman have diminished liver function, right? Mm-hmm. Why does that happen? And so we're not really diving into the why, but like I said before we started the show, I wanted to talk about this particular one, and I cannot pronounce it, so I'm gonna let you guys listen to the pronunciation of this
on Google.
Yeah, like I'm not gonna pretend that I know everything all the time, and I'm dyslexic, and this has way too many consonants. So here we go. This is what this is called.
Hepatic encephalopathy.
Hepatic encephalopathy.
Right. Whatever. So HE for short. So this is that condition that temporarily worsens brain function. And it mostly happens with advanced liver disease, but it's on the rise in young women. And I think that, you know, as we get out into the world and we become entrepreneurs or start our own businesses or, you know, do sales or whatever it might be, or start a family, these intrusive thoughts, you know, keep creeping in. So when we want a solution and we want it to be easy and we want it to fit into our lifestyle, like this is where I come in. I feel like this is kind of like I'm throwing on my cape and I'm jumping in. I'm like, I can help you out here. And this is really like what I always like to offer, is simple, easy ways to incorporate herbs. Because as you know, as somebody who trains other people and supports them in health and wellness as well, if it's not something that's going to be easy, that can be easily incorporated, it's not going to be successful. It's not going to be long-term. It's not going to be sustainable. And
100%, yep.
Right. And so, and that's the thing. It's just like, we want to make it easy for you guys. And because of that, I have just a few herbs that I'll talk about here in just a little bit.
Yeah, so I just loved all that information, and, you know, for me, I'm going to talk more. I'm sorry if you keep hearing, like, little...
We're kind recording of, in my hotel room.
There's, like, this couch keeps kind of making little farting noises a little bit, you know, so I swear...
party time excellence.
I swear it's not me.
If the king-size bed wasn't enough.
Just in case you hear some weird things in the background. but yeah, I just wanted to talk about mindset. You know, Paula, when we first talked about having a conversation again on and recording an episode, she asked what I was studying right now. And I'm in the process right now of creating an online business that will support, you know, your strength goals, nutritional goals, and your mindset goals. And that, you know, even apart from just the physical aspects of fitness that I've studied for the last little bit, I've been really, you know, I just finished this book called Mind Power by John Kehoe that has been amazing. And that's really been my focus right now because, you know, when you go into anything that you're starting new, maybe you've tried to start it over 1,000 times, mm-hmm. fitness, you know, different programs, starting a business, those seem to be a lot of things that people will start and then feel like they can't finish, or, you know, and then they create these stories in their head about failure. And that's kind of what I've been really trying to hone in on, because this program and just what I want to talk to you about today is kind of wants to reiterate how powerful the mind can be. And then with Paula's information, we'll be able to then support other parts of the body that will support that mind power work. But, you know, everything at its purest and deepest essence is energy, and energy is... it's constantly attempting to try to find a form, essentially, kind of like water. So it's trying to manifest itself in a way. And I've read a couple of books now, and, you know, you have this idea of like quantum physics and stuff. And for so long, like, since it wasn't visible and it wasn't, you know, as easily measurable or as easily seen, even through the scientific scope, people didn't really believe in it as much. And we're seeing now, you know, you have sound waves, you have frequencies that things give off, you have energy that things give off, and those do manifest itself. And things like trauma and stress, you're finding that those manifest themselves in the forms of illness or chronic fatigue or, you know, whatever the case may be. So the things that you are constantly repeating in your mind, they take up more and more of your energy and power, and they create this ability to manifest themselves. And so, you know, I want you to think back. A lot of the stories we tell ourselves are stories we've been telling ourselves forever. I mean, stories that may have been created because of the way your parents reacted to certain things. Stories that may have been created because you were bullied when you were in school. I mean, and even though we're adults now, and even though we don't think those may have not seemed like profound experiences, they have created the narrative that we now have in our mind about what we are capable of, how we react to things. And, you know, for example, my name, my maiden name was Press. My name is Danielle Press. If you break that down, it's D Press. Literally for my entire life until really recently, and it was actually this driving motivator for me to change my last name when I got married, because my husband wasn't, he didn't necessarily ask me to, and you know, I was happy to, because I just was, I didn't feel compelled because it was like what a woman should do, but like I was happy to do it. But in all honesty, one of the driving factors was I wanted to change my name from D Press because I thought that I was literally set up from conception, from the time that that name was given to me, to battle with depression. And it has been this story that I have created and embedded in my mind for so long, I almost don't know myself without associating my being with depression. And so that's why I'm saying that, you know, these stories that we have currently as adults and how we you know, how we apply them to starting a fitness thing, how we apply them to the jobs that we're trying to get, how we apply them to businesses we're trying to create, how we apply them to how we interact with friends or family or the new family that we've created with a partner, you know, they all have their root, just like we've talked about having certain roots within the body that affect other things. So, you know, really those stories have embedded themselves into our subconscious. And it's what I said at the beginning, your life is kind of at that point your own making. And I heard this really powerful thing that said that you are basically your problem and your solution. Oh, like absolutely. You are at the root of your problem, as harsh as that may sound, and a lot of people like to blame external things, and it doesn't mean that those external influences didn't impact you, but you could be the root of your problem. But the most empowering thing about that sentence is that you are also your own solution, and you could have support from people. You could have support in the practices that you do. You have support in the things that you ingest and put into your body to help you. But you, at the end of the day, you have to make those decisions. Right. You have to be accountable. You have to be putting that all into action, essentially. So you are your solution. And I want you to kind of think of it as having a garden. You know, your subconscious, just like a garden, if you were a farmer and you planted all of these different kinds of seeds, the ground isn't like spitting out like what the weeds are.
Right.
And the ground isn't spitting out what the invasive species are.
Right.
The garden is just going to grow what you are watering. And it doesn't differentiate. And that's how your subconscious is. It doesn't differentiate between the stories that are true and the stories that are false, that are creating these limited beliefs in our lives. If you keep repeating it, if you keep watering it, it's going to continue to grow and it's going to embed itself. So I want you to think, you know, when you're thinking about mindset shifting, I want you to think about your subconscious as a garden. And I want you to think that if you had a garden and you were planting seeds in it, you would have to continually water it. And now your mission and your challenge is to plant good seeds in your garden and good seeds in your mind. Doesn't mean a little weed doesn't pop up every now and then, but if you're aware of those weeds, and you could do something about them.
Right.
And you could shift it. And I'm going to talk about things, little like tips and stuff a little bit later. But before I pass it back off to Paula, I just want you to kind of have this little affirmation that I heard. You know, another thing that I found really powerful was my subconscious mind is my partner in success. So you could choose to believe that your mind supports you in your success, rather than believing that it is always going to set you up for failure.
Yeah, I love the garden metaphor for obvious reasons.
I figured.
You know, I really do enjoy that, because anytime that people can really visually look and understand the process, they can better apply it. And I also like that because it really ties into just neurological function and brain function. I think we've mentioned it was probably on maybe episode 4 or 5 at the beginning of season 1, but epigenetics and neuroplasticity and all of these things that happen within the brain. So if you imagine your neural network within your brain as this tree, right? And your body is constantly pruning the tree. So anything that it's not being served, or if there aren't synapses firing in those areas, it prunes them, right? And then, so the ones, like you just said, the ones that are being watered, or the ones that are constantly being communicated with through these synapses, they get stronger and those branches get thicker. And, you know, that repetitive motion over and over again. And it's so much easier to fall back into those patterns because our brain has literally trimmed off, you know, figuratively and a little bit realistically, the things that weren't serving us, or the things that we weren't putting our mindset or applying ourselves to. And so with neuroplasticity, this is really interesting. I didn't plan on talking about this, but I love the topic, so I'll just touch on it a little bit. As you get older, it's really important to kind of flex your brain and your memory and your mind. And I think that the whole idea behind mindset and these stories that we tell ourselves and how the weeds that pop up in the garden, right? And hopefully I'm not jumping around to too many metaphors and you guys can keep up. But, you know, as soon as you said those things, I'm like, yeah, I can totally talk positively to myself. And then this weed pops up and it's like, you're full of shit. I know you're full of shit. And then you're just like, you know, you got to cut it down and trim it out. But then in the back of your mind, you're just like, that weed has so much power, you know, in the garden to take over, because your brain has been firing in that one regard for so long.
Right, right.
It's the strongest. But, you know, the really big important thing, and I heard this the other day, is you can't always believe what you feel.
Right.
Right?
God, my husband tells me that all the freaking
so
time.
So honor it. These are my feelings. This is how I feel right now. And say it out loud. Feel it. And then say, but this is not necessarily reality. Right?
Right.
This is just how I'm feeling at this moment. And I think that that's a really important piece when we start shifting our mindset and we look at that. And I think that that's really important in terms of building neuroplasticity. The more that you can shift your brain in and out of these mindsets and these thoughts, the better off you're going to be neurologically in the long run as well. So if you needed another reason to do that, you know, it's Alzheimer's prevention. That's a really important one.
Yeah. And just understanding, just to piggyback off that real quick before you talk about the herbs, just understanding that, like, it's called a mindset practice or a fitness journey or a herbalism practice because it's just that. It's practice, and practice means you need to have patience because these things take time.
Mm-hmm.
Like changing your reality and changing the stories that you've learned and told yourself for so long is not just like, okay, I'm going to change, light on, light off, like the change
right.
is happening, you know, like creating your reality is a continuous happening.
Mm-hmm.
And just like if you're uncomfortable at the beginning of a new fitness regimen, or if you're uncomfortable when you're first starting out on your herbalism journey because you're not really sure how to do anything, or creating this online business, you know, it's just like anything else. After you practice a little bit,
right,
certain aspects of it start to become a little bit easier and a little bit more tangible and a little bit more accessible. And you're like, that one thing that I've been fixated on that was so hard for me at the very beginning of this, I can do it now.
Right, right.
And like, but just giving yourself the time and the space, because while you're in all these processes of taking herbs for your liver, that's not gonna be instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
While you're in the process of rewatering your subconscious
right.
garden, you know, you have to understand that the way you react within that kind of holding period is gonna differentiate between how successful it is and how long it's gonna take for the change to actually resonate and actualize.
And you can't bullshit it, you know. There's a lot of things you can bullshit through life, and I swear, with how many different industries I've worked with and the people that I've met, people are awesome. I'm not saying anybody in particular, you know, definitely present company excluded, but people bullshit a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about mindset, this is not something you can bullshit your way through. You know, you can post it on Instagram, you can do your thing, you're like mindful, whatever. But at the end of the day, when we're talking about, especially when we start looking at the holistic approach and the root causes, and we focus on the ability that the liver and the kidneys and the bowels have on the rest of our body, you're holding on to things from years ago. You know, I thought it was really interesting that you mentioned your name and how that affected you. And I have a really strong connection to my name and the fact that I had to hyphenate because I didn't want to let my last name go, because it was so much of who I was or who I thought I was for such a long time that I was just like, I can't not be that person. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like now my name is so long. It like tells this whole story of my life, I feel like, just by reading it. But it's this really interesting thing. But we hold on to, you know, in our liver and in the gallbladder and in the kidneys, it's just like there's anger, right? In traditional Chinese medicine, it's the element of wood. And it's associated with just, like I mentioned before, like an aggravation, this fury. But there's this energy in excess there. There's heat. There's aggravation that needs to be expelled to a certain extent. And so if you're not focused on those things, if you're not actively taking certain herbs or changing your diet, it's going to be so much harder to shift that mindset, and you really can't bullshit your way through it. And I think it's really important for us to realize, you know, we all have a lot going on and we've all experienced a lot within our lives, some more than others. And when we talk about you are your problem and your mindset, you just need to change your mindset, is true to a certain extent, right? And then we look at the way the world's been for millennia, and we talk about socioeconomic status and how COVID has shifted so much for so many people. I'm disgusted to say that I did really well as a family during COVID. We made probably more money than we've ever made. And for millions of other families, that was not the case, right? And so to a certain extent, there's a lot of things that we can't control. And so we're holding on to all this anger. This is the point I'm getting to, because I'm such a storyteller. And it's affecting our sleep, and it's affecting our brain, and it's our, you know, all of this stress and everything. And so it's inexpensive. When I got here, I went to a little apothecary down the road and I got an ounce of like 6 or 7 different herbs each. So 7 ounces in total, and, you know, came out to maybe $20. And I can ration those out while I'm here for a week to give me everything that I need, right? And it's that simple. Not only are you making connection locally, which is what I always recommend, is when you start to do herbs, go to someone local, especially if it's grown locally, it's gonna benefit your health a lot more. But some of the things that I focused on with liver support is always milk thistle. This is one, you know, for sleep, I always recommend this, but in general, whether you're drinking or not, it's great as a supporter of the liver if you are drinking. But this is one that can be taken daily, and it's not going to build up in the system. It's not going to have all these negative effects. And then burdock root is another one. And these are also things that you can forage. These are the weeds that people talk about, but these are the good ones, right? So if you look it up online, these are really easily identifiable. There's not like an evil twin, so to speak, that's poisonous. So when you find it, you know you found it. You can harvest it. Right, as long as you stay away from roadways. So, you know, when we talk about incorporating these things into life, and, you know, we are taking into consideration the fact that not everybody has the same things in life and the same availability, and there's not, you know, a fucking Whole Foods down the street, which I have one now, which is fantastic. I don't know how I ever lived without it. But, you know, so milk thistle, really identifiable, to easy to access. Or you can just go online, get capsules, but I recommend going to a local apothecary just because it's really supportive in the liver. And when we're, you know, like we mentioned, when we want to detoxify the blood, not only is that noxious to the brain, but it's noxious to every other function in the body, right? Because blood is what we live on. It's our chi, essentially. And then with burdock root, this is a really great one that you can forage for in the spring. It's an alterative herb, not alternative, but alterative. So this is one that really builds and restores the body in a variety of different ways. Burdock root is great for our lymphatic system, your hair, your skin, especially the liver and kidneys, which is really important. But because it's a restorative kind of tonic, you know, if you forage it or if you can get it from maybe an Asian market or something, you can use it in food. And I believe I had an episode a little while ago mentioning some of these things, so I won't dive too deep into it. But it's a great way to just incorporate, whether it's in tea, powder it, throw it into a smoothie if you don't like the taste of it, if you're not a tea person. There's ways to incorporate it. You know, take a pill if you can't. You know, I've got clients that have, they can't take pills because they can't swallow, right? So they throw it into a smoothie. They don't like gritty texture, so we find a different way to do it for them. They throw it into their food. There's a bunch of different ways to do things like that. And this one is big. I've mentioned it before, but passion flower. It really can grow everywhere. So here at Southern Oregon, there's a few nurseries that have passion flower plants. They're vining plants, so they trellis really well, and they have pretty purple flowers. And you can actually self-pollinate and create the fruit itself. But you can also use the flowers and the stems and things like that. This is really, you know, we both focus mostly for the majority on women, right? Our clients and things are women. I focus on women's health a lot of the time. But this one really calms the mind. And I like passion flower. I use it when I'm traveling just because the frantic thoughts and the stress that I end up having from all the things that I did or didn't do or things I forgot, it really helps to kind of focus the mind a little bit more. Another thing, you know, when we want to tie this back into fitness and herbalism together, passion flower is really great just to support respiratory health in a lot of ways. So, you know, our nervous system, when our nerves are fried and shot and we can't focus, we can't work well, we can't have connections with people well. And I think this is something that plagues women a lot more than men, in the way that, you know, an intimate relationship for women is not, it doesn't start with the physical, it's very mental. And in that regard, when we have frantic thoughts and all these things going on, we don't need now this added stress to whatever significant relationship we have in our lives that we can't connect on a certain level because our mindset shifted or because we have frantic thoughts. And so I really enjoy incorporating passion flower, you know, like I said, powders into smoothies early in the morning, which is really nice, things like that, because, you know, sexual health is just another portion of it, and we don't want to sit there and get even angrier because we're just like, why can't we do anything right? This one thing that would have been great for my mental health is not working right now. But yeah, so those are some of the ones that I have. And then we always use Tulsi. I think I've talked about this one because it's an adaptogen. So this is the interesting thing, right? And this is why I like talking about this, because when we talk about mindset and herbalism, you know, the first thing people go to are like adaptogens or neurotropics or nervines or things like that. All of these herbs that I've listed have different properties and herbal actions in them. And it doesn't necessarily always have to be an adaptogen. Tulsi is just a great all around. It helps, especially with anger and strong feelings of frustration. Just in the way, if you're continuously drinking Tulsi tea, it's great for your skin. And also, because it's kind of within the basil family, the volatile oils, just the smell of it is really relaxing as well. And so, you know, you can even get some essential oils and put them into a diffuser in your, you know, in your office or in your house or your car or whatever it might be. So I challenge you, if you're listening, to message me with why you can't incorporate these herbs, and then I'll figure out a way how you can do it.
Go to the wise one.
I don't know if I'm wise. I feel like, you know, it's...
You wise girl.
We're all digging in the trenches. We're all just like, we're going to get there one of these days. Yes,
but the thing is, yeah, I guess we all have different knowledges? Different knowledge, though, and different ways. That's why we all have to have these conversations. That's why we have to have connection, because in a way that I'll help you out of a trench is a way that you help me out of a trench in a different way. So we're just all trying to
dig ourselves out. We've got a lot of metaphors today. I like it, though.
A lot of dirt metaphors, trenches, right, and gardens. But yeah, I challenge you to do that as well, and to try to incorporate some of those things, and then to also start a mindfulness practice. And, you know, the thing that I'm learning is that meditation, and, like, I'm not... I'm not this like 10-year experienced meditator by any means at all. I mean, I could point you in the direction of people who are and who are amazing, but you know, in my practice, it's not like sitting there for an entire hour, you know, right now that feels inaccessible to me. Mm-hmm. And I just find that, you know, after reading this book, there were a lot of things that you could apply that felt really accessible. And just taking 10 minutes at night and in the morning, you know, maybe when your eyes are first fluttering up, mm-hmm. and I do this a lot when I'm going to bed, but staying consistent with it of kind of a, it doesn't even have to be meditation, it could just be visualizations. And you know, part of the thing that's going to help you be successful is visualizing that you are already successful. So as I'm starting this online program, I've talked to a lot of people, and especially it seems like around fitness and health and nutrition and stuff, so many people want something, but then feel like they've already tried so many things and failed at so many things. And that's always part of their conversation. Like that's right. always like, oh yeah, I wanna try this, but I've already like messed up too many times. Oh yes, I wanna try this, but I don't think I'm quite there yet because X, Y, and Z. And you know, visualizing yourself already having that success, I think is a really powerful thing. And I've been trying that myself. I'm not lying to you guys. Like I've said this 1,000 times in things that I post, I'm in the growth process along with everyone else in the growth process. Mm-hmm. And as I learn and as I experience, I impart it onto you guys. And like, I will literally be sitting there in the morning while I'm stretching or when I first wake up, and I'm just like, I imagine people saying, yes, I want your program. Yes, I want your program. Yes, I want your program. My program's not even done yet. It'll be done in May. Reach out to me if you're interested.
Which is like in a week.
I know. Second week of May. And then I'll literally visualize and I'll hear people saying, your program helped change my life. You know, your program helped change the way I viewed my body. Your program helped me feel healthier within my body. And then I'll visualize me celebrating mm-hmm. with my husband this success that isn't just mine, but this success that is also other people's. Because at the end of the day, I want to succeed as a byproduct of helping other people succeed, if right. that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But I actually visualize these things and I repeat them in my head. And I'm not gonna lie to you guys, I've had skin issues, I've had hair issues, and I've been saying to, as I wash my hair, I'm like, you have thick, beautiful, growing hair. And I know that sounds weird, but I've read, there's this amazing documentary called Heal, and I watched it while I was going through stuff with my family because one of my family members was terminally diagnosed with a brain tumor. And these people who have experiences like literally visualizing the broken or the sick parts of their body, mm-hmm. like getting fixed.
Right.
And the thing is that this practice has to be consistent. If you just do it once every month, you're not going to see the results of it.
Right.
But they consistently visualize, you know, the body eating the cancer cells, or they consistently visualized bones being put back together. Mm. And I'm not shitting you, I'm visualizing hair follicles growing out of my freaking head.
I'm gonna do that. Dude, like, I can't get to 35 and not bald. Like, it's gonna
I know, yeah. That's what I'm feeling. So, I mean, and hair versus, like, cancer, you know, it doesn't seem...
Right.
It's the same, but that just shows you, like, there are people who have used this practice for things, extreme things,
right,
that they have been able to come back from. And so just know, though, your visualizations and your affirmations are nothing if you don't have action behind them. So I could visualize all fucking day that people are gonna say yes to my program, mm-hmm. but if I don't do anything to actually create the program, mm-hmm. then I'm not supporting the visualizations. If I'm not, you know, supporting my body's health, if I'm not supporting my liver health through these applications that Paula's talked about, I'm not fully setting myself up for the success that I'm trying to get and the benefits I'm trying to get out of this mind work. So visualization and affirmation with action. And just know that things that I've read, you don't even have to fully believe the things that you are saying, because mm-hmm. just like we talked about, these things take time. Right. So if you waited until you believed, or if you waited until you were fit to join a fitness program, mm-hmm. or if you waited until you were a certain weight to start eating healthy, I mean, does that, when you hear that out loud, does that make sense to you? Mm-hmm. It doesn't really. So if you're talking about the mindset, you are unlearning years of stories. But the powerful thing is that if you can learn them, you can unlearn them. Mm-hmm. And so just know that, you know, that saying, fake it till you make it, like, I have not created this thing. I have certain anxieties around it, this online program. I'm fully stepping out of my comfort zone in every and all capacities. But I'm going to, I'm going to change this narrative if my freaking life depends on it. And also, I read something really interesting that how we word these affirmations can affect you. So, like, if you kind of have a negative within your affirmation, so saying something like, I'm not going to fail this program, some studies or some people have been saying that for whatever reason, the subconscious doesn't pick up on that not. It, you know, maybe it's because we've told ourselves the failure part for so long that that's just what it, it gravitates towards. So making sure that the things that you say have a positive overtone. So instead of, I'm not going to fail this program, you say, I'm going to succeed in this program. Or you even talk about, or I have succeeded in this program. I have made that investment. I have made that commitment. So therefore, I have succeeded already. And, you know, visualize that you are already there. I heard this really good thing called your belief portfolio. So you're like, basically with these small things and these, you know, maybe faking it till you make it or whatever, you're building into your belief portfolio. And if you struggle with thinking that you could do something big, I want you to start, you know, you could do a practice of, let's say for 30 days straight, you have a really, really small achievable goal. And it could just be like, I want to drink this tea once a day. I mean, it may seem like, yeah, I could drink, I could freaking drink tea once a day. Like,
or sometimes I don't drink tea once a day. So, so, you know,
well, it could be, okay. Well,
no, but I'm saying, like, even the simplest of things, you know, can definitely, it's like, you actually have to try it. Like, I don't, I'm not going to try it. It's too easy.
Right.
It's like, start with the easy thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even like I love the way my bed looks made, but I don't make my bed every day. But that's something that's really achievable. So, like, if you have to start small so that you could prove to yourself that you can complete something, then start small, however small that is, and build into that belief portfolio. And you could also make a list of things that you do accomplish every day.
Right.
There are certain things, you know, working out is something that I've been doing for so long that it's easy for me to commit to on an almost every single day basis. Using, you know, journaling is something that I'm trying to create and implement into my practice. But I shouldn't negate all of the things that I do every day and forget all of those things just because the one thing I'm trying to do, journaling, maybe I missed for a day. So, like, notice, we talked about it earlier, notice what you have achieved instead of what you haven't achieved. And the last thing I'm going to say, because it's with literally anything you're trying to do in life and step into, is you can name, you can, there's nothing wrong with being scared. I honestly don't. There's nothing wrong with having fear about stepping into something. To me, sometimes that's even indicative that you really care about something if you have a fear surrounding it. So name that fear. You could be like, oh, hi, Albert. So, for example, I was living in Miami. There are flying cockroaches in Miami.
Oh, fuck.
One, and I've been, I grew up there. I know that they exist. I've been dealing with them my entire life, but I fucking hate them more than anything in the entire existence of the universe.
Oh my God.
And this one day, and it was after my accident, so I couldn't even move very quickly, but I was by myself, and this fucking flying cockroach comes in to our apartment. I lock myself in the bedroom, and I'm like, Danielle, this cockroach is holding you hostage. You need to, like, fucking do something about this.
Yeah.
Get some strength, girl. This is a little tiny bug. So I grab my Raid, and I'm like, I'm gonna fucking tackle this issue. And I spray the Raid, and it starts flying towards me, and I throw myself into the bedroom. And literally, we moved. The cockroach disappeared. It didn't go out the door, because the door was closed. So every single day, I named it, what did I name it? Like Frank. I named it Frank, I think. And I would just walk through that specific hallway in my apartment, and I'd be like, all right, Frank. Like, I'm coming through. And as I'm saying that, because name that fear and acknowledge that fear and be like, yo, Frank, I'm scared of you, but I need to walk through this fucking hallway.
For sure.
Like, so I'm going to. And do a little risk analysis. Ask yourself, if I join this program and I stumble a little bit, will I still be okay? Mm-hmm. Yes. If I commit to an herbalist regimen and I stumble a little bit or I miss a couple of days, will I be okay? Yes. If I do this online program and I fail and no one sees or says yes to me ever, will I be okay? At the end of the day, the answer is yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's so interesting, though, because I
But
know...
I won't fail.
Will not. You can't say
no. No, I will succeed.
I will succeed.
I have succeeded.
There we go. Like, working with you, and I know how much you put into the programs that you offer and the people that you work with, and I think that it's going to be a really great opportunity for people to work with you from all over. That, you know, when you're moving or when you're doing things, and they have that great opportunity. So I'm excited for that.
Thanks.
And yeah,
guys, shoot me an email if you're interested, and don't forget that challenge Paula put out. If you don't know how to incorporate those herbs, she will tell you.
I love show talking you about it. Yes, absolutely. Maybe we'll do a video and some shout outs and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So reach out. But yeah, this was nice. I feel like sometimes this is like just being able to hang out and talk is really nice and post stuff, but sometimes it's like going to the gym, right? It's like, you do it, and then afterwards you're like, okay, that wasn't too bad.
Yeah, you have all these nerves beforehand. You're like,
right, and you're like, that was kind of fun, and I feel better now. And yeah, so we'll see. Maybe we'll do another one of these days.
I think we like both took a deep breath before we pressed play. We were like, okay, we're back in the game.
Right.
But yeah, and then shit, 55 or so minutes later, thought this thing would be over, like,
right?
Instantly.
It's done. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening to us chat. Reach out to us if you need anything.
Yeah, peace and love, guys. Peace and love.